The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or the Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other host or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only. Views which are presented are for educational purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim any cure of disease or condition.
This is Amanda LaPlante. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. I'm here today with Dr. Joe Congas, and his practices are Ideal Pediatrics in Columbia, Illinois, and Whole Child Pediatrics in Chesterfield, Missouri. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. I'm really excited to have an integrative pediatrician on the show. I'm very passionate about integrative medicine myself. It's really done wonders for me and my health and transforming the health of my son as well. So really glad that you can be here today to share some knowledge and information and insight with people.
I tell you, I'm learning a lot as I go here. I started down this path a few years ago, and I feel like every day I learn something new and learning from my patients even as I go, which is, it's an amazing journey.
A beginner's mindset is a beautiful thing.
I think that's been the biggest thing, is just kind of taking a step back from everything I've learned. I still use everything I learned along the way, but just finding new ways to practice and new ways to keep kids healthy. And I think ultimately, you know, my goal with any of this journey right now is to keep kids off medicine as much as possible. And I just see medicine overused so much in my field. Maybe that's why it's called medicine, but if we can take a step back and look at lifestyle, I think we can really make a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's so much new technology and science emerging, supporting nutrition and other therapies, you know, as ways to prevent and to correct for various different conditions before you go to medicine. And so I think that's what's so beautiful about integrative pediatrics, is that you do take the time to try and adjust with some of those lifestyle and diet type modifications first.
Yeah, so, yeah, I agree completely. I think that the type of medicine I'm practicing now is so different, and it takes a lot more time with patients. But that's one thing I found that I missed as a practice has grown. I've had Ideal Pediatrics in Columbia, Illinois now for 12 years. And that practice started with zero patients, and I had time to talk to patients and time to get to know them and time to get to know their families. And as we've grown and as medicine, you know, the world of medicine has changed and reimbursement and all the other things that I get to worry about as a business owner, I found I had less and less time in the exam rooms. And really that journey opened my mind when I opened Ideal Pediatrics in South County, St. Louis, and I found I had time again with patients, and I forgot just how much I missed that and how much good I felt like I could do by taking more time with them. And so I really just wanted to take a step back and say, how can I spend more time with my patients? How can I, you know, get back to the roots of what I loved about medicine? And that led me to Whole Child Pediatrics, which just started this last week.
Congratulations. It's really exciting.
Thank you.
I think it's going to be a great resource for everyone in the area. So I'm excited to share more information about that. But I want us to take a step just backwards a little bit. For people that are maybe tuning in for the first time and aren't familiar with what integrative medicine or kind of the philosophy behind this approach is, could you break that down a little bit?
I think, you know, from where my standpoint is, there's a combination of things that I look at when I think of integrative medicine. And mostly I'm looking at what a lot will call functional medicine, which is really focusing on nutrition first and foremost. I think nutrition of the children, nutrition of the family. And that's one thing that I'm getting off subject here a tad, but really
please,
taking a look at the family and the family dynamic. And we talk about nutrition, and I've spent years asking parents to make sure their kids exercise and eat right, and realizing that I really need the family to exercise and eat right for that to make a difference in their child's life. That stems from, you know, watching my wife, who's a CrossFit coach, do workout around the house. And now my two-year-old is doing push-ups and sit-ups. And I think everything's a push-up at our house, but anything she does is working out. Look, well, I mean, I do a push-up, but you know, most kids aren't doing that in their home. So I think that, you know, that made me take a step back and realize that we really just need to change the family in order to change those children. So,
yeah.
And then integrated medicine is really looking at approaches that we integrate different types of care, which is what we're doing with Whole Child Pediatrics, is bringing on chiropractic care, working with chiropractors, working with physical therapists, working with counselors and dietitians, nutritionists, and just a whole slew of people to help really make changes in the family overall.
Gotcha. Yeah. And it's a ripple effect. You know, it starts with the parents, and yeah, the family dynamic is so important. I know that as I've changed my health and we've made some adjustments in our home for that, with dealing with my chronic health issues, you know, it's kind of flowed downward, right?
Right.
And outward. And so I noticed the more healthy each of us gets, the more the next one wants to. That's contagious, right?
It is. I think that, yeah, in my household, definitely, as we all, when one person, and on the other side, when one person cheats, the whole family starts to look at
totally.
It like, hey, maybe it's my turn to cheat.
But, health behaviors.
But I do think that, yeah, we definitely are modeling, trying to model for our kids how we eat and eat right. We also have the joy of my parents living with us. So sometimes our kids get things that we weren't expecting them to get, but I've also seen like it's actually affecting how my parents eat and they're eating healthier, which is makes my heart very happy as well.
So cool. Yeah. Health is contagious. That's very cool. Okay. So now you talked about, or we've talked about, especially, I have a history of dealing with ADD, ADHD and anxiety, depression, things like that, that have resolved as I've been able to get my nutrition under control, gotten a lot better. Can you talk about a little bit, you know, when you have, I think we've seen really almost a lot of people would say an epidemic of ADHD and anxiety in kids. What are some of the things that you do when you see someone that comes into the practice and you want to take a look at other ways to approach that?
So we're definitely taking a new approach to ADHD, anxiety, and any mental health behavior concerns, and really just any problem that we have. I think that I'm starting to spend an hour first visit with every patient, and there's a lot of paperwork that has to be done before that visit, really looking at onset of symptoms, when they've started, looking at sleep, looking at diet, and then we're going to dive in deeply to, you know, how that looks for their family now and what kind of changes I'd like to see them make to see if we can see improvement. Definitely seeing, you know, foods in general causing inflammation in the body, and that inflammation in theory can affect the brain. Now, you hear stuff, different people have different opinions on that, but I have clearly seen children try just a diet change and came back, and teachers have asked, have they started a medicine, because they looked so different in the classroom and they looked different to me in the exam room. So it was really a big, you know, light bulb moment for me to say, now, why shouldn't we try this with all children first?
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I hope it makes sense to a lot of parents too, because I really would love to see us get away from the medicine. I know it works well for some children, and it's a great mask for our symptoms, but if we can get to the root of why we have those symptoms instead of covering them up, I think we have a lot better outcomes for our kids and for our families in general.
Certainly. Yeah. Now, how do other lifestyle factors affect something like ADHD or anxiety in kids? You know, like, for instance, I guess we're getting into like sleep and
right,
exercise and things like that.
I mean, this time of year, we're still looking at, with all the clouds we've had, a lot of low vitamin D levels that can play a big role, I think, in mood and behavior in general.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep is definitely a big factor. And I know that, you know, one thing I talk to parents about, I don't want to give away all my tips and tricks here,
sure.
But I mean, a big factor is that most elementary age kids need up to 12 hours sleep at night, and some are getting 8 or 9. And so the first thing I talk about is trying to get closer to that 10, 11, 12 hour sleep at night and see if it makes a difference. I know in our own house that that bedtime's early, and that can be a hard thing. The neighbor kids are still outside playing. It's still light outside as this gets to this time of year. So we have to find ways to make, you know, bedtime a little more intriguing for the kids. But we get them to bed early, and they perform well because of it.
Gotcha. That's very cool. It makes a lot of sense. So we've talked a little bit about some non-medicine ways, I guess, to approach things like ADD, anxiety, and some of these other situations, but that are popping up a lot with kids. And I know one of the other frequently talked about topics at our elementary school, where my son goes, is actually antibiotic use, talking about kind of pulling back on medicines.
Right.
Like, what are your feelings on antibiotics? And
That's another thing that I end up taking a lot of time to talk about in the exam room is
yeah.
antibiotics and more why we don't use them. And definitely in my practice, we focus on using antibiotics when we know there's a true bacterial infection, a true source of infection that's bacterial that needs antibiotics. We often see children still going to urgent cares and even other, you know, providers and getting antibiotics for what's labeled as an upper respiratory infection. And, you know, we know that most of those are viral and most of those will run their course, and we just treat with symptoms in our office and have good outcomes. So, you know, things like ear infections, pneumonia, urinary tract infections, those are things that clearly need antibiotics. And even though some will tell you that ear infections don't need antibiotics at first, so trying to wait some of those things out depending on the severity of that ear infection and the discomfort the child's having. But if we can treat those symptoms and get them through, and that's a good place where, you know, chiropractic care comes hand in hand, and opening the eustachian tubes and helping those kids relieve that pressure and getting them to feel better without antibiotics if we can. And then there's a place for antibiotics if we need them. But again, kind of using them as a last resort for some things and first line for some things as well, but definitely want a source of infection to be treated.
Gotcha. So, you know, and you mentioned that kind of reminds me, a lot of parents have been coming up to me lately and saying, you know, my kids have to get tubes. And it seems like that's
right.
becoming more and more common. I know that's something that has been a practice for a long time, but it seems like it's becoming more common. What are kind of your thoughts on that?
So, you know, we're seeing worsening allergies as well. And whether that's a combination of foods and allergens in the air, I'm not sure that I fully understand even some of that. But I do look at anything that causes inflammation. And that eustachian tube being closed can be a neurologic thing, which is why we talk to, you know, chiropractors about help their assistance with that, but also just inflammation in general. So whether it's allergies, whether it's the colds or viruses, or maybe even foods could play a role in that. We want to look at that whole body and look at the whole system and look at food allergies as well as respiratory allergies for things like that.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense too. So, all right. So what are now in your practice, that you're opening in Chesterfield, you have got, you're kind of right next door to a chiropractic office.
We are. Basically, our patients will check in all through the same office, and they come to what we're now, you know, deeming the medical side, where the patients will see me, and then we're in there with Napudi Wellness in Chesterfield, and the plan is to be in their South County location, their South office on Bayless here in the next month or so.
All right. Well, that's exciting. It's nice to see, again, just I love the integrative approach, because I don't think there's so many different reasons for different illnesses or circumstances and issues that people are dealing with. And it's nice to have this combined approach, I think, across different disciplines.
Right. Yeah. I've been working with some chiropractors in the area for some time now, and we really just find times to where, and when I first reached out to them, was really to find how we can share those patients. Like, what are the patients I should be calling you on when I can't figure out, or I want to stay away from medicine? You know, what kind of things can you help me do to keep these children off medication? And ear infections, reflux, colic, a lot of things like that, that I never even really realized a chiropractor might help us with. And I've had patients come back with great results, and we've been able to stay off medicine. And then we share those patients. And on the other hand, when they have someone they're working with that isn't getting better with their care, then they can refer to me and we can look at medical treatment as well.
Right. Yeah. And I have to tell you, I had a personal experience with that with my son. He had terrible reflux. It would shoot 5-6 feet across the room. And I was like, this guy is this big. How is this happening? But yeah, we treated with medicine. We even did the barium testing and all kinds of things to try to figure out what was going on with his reflux. And I ended up taking him to a friend of mine who I ran into in my hometown. She had just gone through chiropractic school, and she was going into treating peds. And she said, you know, why don't you just bring him in? And we had him adjusted. And after all the medicine, all the other things that we had done, the adjustment was actually what fixed him.
That's awesome.
It was a beautiful thing. And so that really opened my eyes. So, well, this is Amanda LaPlante. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. And we will be back after these messages with Dr. Jill Congas.
This program is underwritten by Diversified Health and Wellness Center, located at 11042 Manchester Road in Kirkwood, and online at diversifiedhwc.com. We are a network of dedicated professionals providing a diverse array of integrated health and wellness services. Our goal is to help our clients find complete health solutions for body, mind, and spirit.
This is Amanda LaPlante of Get Real to Heal. You are listening to KWRH LP 92.9 FM, your community radio station in Webster Groves, Missouri. This is Amanda LaPlante. Listen to my show, Get Real to Heal, every Monday morning at 9:30 and every Friday morning at 9:30 here on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. This is Amanda LaPlante. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. And we are back with Dr. Joe Congas of Ideal Pediatrics in Columbia, Illinois, and Whole Child Pediatrics in Chesterfield, Missouri. And I want to talk with you a little bit about kind of a touchy subject, right? We aren't going to get into it too far, but you have an interesting stance on vaccines at your practices.
Yeah, I think as we talk about this journey towards integrated medicine and a lot of the conversations I've had with chiropractors and families and parents in general, I came to the realization that, you know, a decision I've made that a lot of pediatricians make to turn away patients who aren't vaccinated is really a tough one, and really wasn't the best thing for me. It didn't make my heart feel good. It was something I believe strongly in, and that I still want to stand behind the fact that I think that the benefits outweigh the risk of getting vaccinated. However, it really isn't my job to dictate what parents do with their children. It's my job to educate and to tell them how I feel and give my medical opinion and let them kind of use that. Now, I do clarify that if I feel like it's something imminently life-threatening, then I might have a little bit more to say. But this is a situation to where the children isn't, you know, at immediate risk for something happening to them. And I feel like it's just a great place to open my heart and open the practice to these families. So what we've done is we've just opened the doors to patients regardless of their vaccine status. And we share openly with parents in a non-judgmental fashion how I feel about vaccines. And I ask them their opinions and where they stand. And sometimes we have conversations and sometimes we don't. Sometimes parents are really set in what they feel and believe and don't feel like I can have anything to add to that conversation. So we leave there with them knowing we share kind of mutually what we feel about the situation and we kind of go from there. So,
yeah. But I mean, what a big hearted thing to do because that's not easy in terms of, you know, cause you're a doctor, but you're also running a business and there are critics on both sides,
yeah,
right?
It hasn't been an easy change and it's been a recent change, but I definitely get kickback now from both sides of the fence on how I'm handling it. Sometimes people who are very pro-vaccine feel like I'm making a bad decision by allowing these patients into my practice. And on the other side, sometimes I can't meet the expectations of someone who's against vaccines because I don't think like they think, but ultimately my heart is open to them as parents. And I know those children need a place to go and they need a pediatrician. And I know many families have lost their pediatrician just because of the choice to delay vaccines. For whatever reason, something has scared them maybe in their personal life or outside life or just something they've read. And now they wish to hold off on vaccines and then they no longer have a pediatrician to talk to about those vaccines. So I hope we're creating an atmosphere of trust. So when those families do have questions, they can come to me. If they decide they want to do any vaccines, they can, but they're never pressured to do so. And I think everyone leaves much happier in that situation.
Yeah. And so, and to clarify though, you're not anti-vaccine.
Correct.
You're just open.
Correct. Yes. I definitely am. I mean, my children are vaccinated. They're vaccinated per the schedule. And I feel like like I said, the benefits outweigh the risks. I never tell a parent there's no risk because there's risk with anything that we do. However, I think that protecting against those illnesses to me is ultimately the best choice. But again, leaving it non-judgmental. And I can tell you that there have been many tears shed just because a parent is so happy to have a pediatrician in an office who's listened to them and hasn't judged them. And they've not left feeling like we in any way pressured or tried to coerce them. And they felt safe when they left. So.
And that is a beautiful thing.
I agree.
Absolutely. So, you know, I want to also talk about, we touched on the importance of nutrition for certain conditions in the first half, but I want to talk about the rise in childhood obesity because it's something that I think is in a lot of minds. What are some of your thoughts around this issue and what are you kind of doing differently in your practice to address it?
So I think that, you know, where I come from, I mean, I've battled weight my entire life. I've fluctuated 75 pounds probably four or five times now since I was a teenager. Yeah. And I've lost weight in healthy ways many times. And even the last time I lost the weight, I'd say 50 of the pounds I lost, not real healthy. I was restricting calories and exercising without really watching what I was eating. I was just watching how much I was eating. And I've learned again along this journey that what I ate makes a big difference. And we're always taught in medical school, and I think some people are still taught that calories in equal calories out. And I'm learning that there are definitely different kinds of calories and different kinds of foods and different things and different ways your body processes those foods. So what I eat has made a big difference. And I personally have found that I don't feel hungry and I'm not gaining weight. I feel like before I made changes to my diet personally, that I was always hungry and I was still gaining weight and I was starving to lose weight, but I was hungry and gaining weight. So I feel like for my own personal sake that I can help these kids and show them a direction. And I've lived the story. I've lived the life of having battled weight. So when it comes to childhood obesity, I think that focusing on what we eat is much more important than just how much we eat. So much so that I'm still hiring a dietitian. I'm still looking for that person. I thought I had someone, but right now we're looking for a dietitian who's open to, you know, elimination diets and talking to families about that, because I also feel like diet plays a big role, like I said, in ADHD, anxiety, and other things. And so there are certain foods that I'd want to get out of a diet and that I want someone who's willing to talk to our parents and our families about those changes.
Absolutely. What are some of the things that worked for you, by the way? Now you've got me curious.
So the biggest thing that's helped me keep my weight off is focusing on, I would say, simple carbs in general, just taking sugars out of the diet for the most part.
Yeah.
I rarely eat fruit even at this point, but I do have fruit once in a while, but definitely taking the bread and the pasta and the corn and the rice out of my diet has probably been the biggest thing. And those, again, those aren't things that I never eat, because it's not that I have, you know, I don't have an autoimmune, I don't have an inflammatory problem that I know of anyway at this point, but I know that those are the things that affect my weight. So if I want to cheat, then I cheat a little bit, but it's not bread with every meal. Like I grew up and be pretty much bread with every meal that I ate until I made this change. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my gosh. A meal without butter bread was just not a meal back in the day.
Every dinner, exactly. So,
that's so funny.
Yeah, and then watching calories we drink. I think that's so huge for kids, especially juice, soda, sweet tea. A lot of times parents aren't thinking about that, but those are extra calories that our body just doesn't need.
Yeah, and you know, and we didn't plan to touch on this, but I have to say, as we're on the subject of drinking calories, those extra sugars and some of the things that we're starting to see in various different studies, you know, talking about the long-term effects of sugar, right?
And all right.
It's like, you know, when I see parents giving their kids lots of sweets, you know, and whenever I think about allowing my son to have something like that, I'm like, ooh, should I be making that decision for him?
All right.
Do you know what I mean? Just because of the long-term effects, I wonder if that's something our kids are going to look back on and go, why did they give us so much sugar?
Right.
Like, look at all of this. And if there's going to be little finger pointing going on there.
We could do a full segment on parents being able to parent and make those choices for their kids. Because sometimes we want to be their friends and we want to make choices and we want them to be kids. And being kids means eating junk food, right? But
in
as
America.
A parent, we have to limit that. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, another time.
A future subject.
Another time, for sure. So yeah, I love that you're bringing on a dietitian. And another thing that I found interesting was that in your process of integrating in your practice, you're also bringing in a social worker.
Yes, I have Katie hired. She's been working with us for a few weeks now, and she's been a great addition to the practice. Right now, we're just using her like we would a counselor, and she's seeing some patients who are having some, you know, mental health issues and helping them through that and building relationships. I really want to work to integrate her into our well child visits. And the goal for my practice is to have every checkup, every well check, especially for school age children, to include dietitian, the social worker, and maybe even a fitness evaluation for those visits. So really seeing four different people for every well child check to evaluate where they are. I spend those time in the exam room. I talk about diet. I talk about exercise. I talk about sleep, but I'm not the expert in some of those areas. And someone who's really been trained can spend more time and get to the bottom of things. And I really feel the importance of having that social worker there as part of the practice is a huge benefit for families to take away some stigma of seeing a counselor and also take away the stress. I see that parents come to me when their child has a life stressor, whether that be a divorce or a death in the family or abuse or any other kind of thing. And then we're adding a stress of going to someone new to talk about all their life issues. If it's someone they know, they've met, they've seen at the office before, I think that'll take away a lot of that stress and make that transition a little easier. It might not be things they want to talk about, but at least they're talking to someone they know about those things, and that should hopefully make it easier for them.
I love that you're doing that. I think it's really important. I know that just even referring back to my own healing journey, and it was stressful when I would want to add a new component, you know, because there was the unfamiliar. When you're somebody that's dealing with anxiety or just stress in general, and then you're trying to manage a family or whatever, just removing those barriers to entry for getting someone in to get those special evaluations is so important. Very cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. So one other thing, and I kind of want to touch back on, you know, the thought of, you know, like, should we be allowing our kids to do certain things? And one thing that comes up a lot, you know, at the local pool or wherever when I'm talking to parents is screen time. A lot of people are concerned about the effects of screen time. What are your thoughts on that subject?
Currently, I recommend to my patients no more than 1 hour a day.
And 1 hour.
And even that, I think, can be excessive depending on what they're watching and how they're watching. There are recommendations, and I still read them 1 to 2 hours a day. But I think that the more that I read, that 1 hour a day would be max. And I would really like to see that limited to none during the school days, because there's enough going on. And we really see the screens in their face all day at school now. And whether it's not, it is educational, but it's still screen time on their face. And that could be strain on the eyes and other things that we're not even focusing on. But I think the constant stimulation from that is leading to increase in diagnosis of our ADHD. As the little brains are developing, that constant stimulation affects it and the types of things we're watching. My goodness, I see my 3-year-old grab my phone and go to YouTube and watch some things that are probably teaching her some behavior she shouldn't be having as well. So there's a number of reasons to limit that screen time. And even with limiting, making sure you have control of what they're watching and seeing what they're watching is important as well.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Jill Congas, integrative pediatrician, if you could give some information for how people could contact you and follow up, that would be great.
Oh, great. We have two websites, idealpediatrics.com for the Ideal Pediatrics in Columbia, Illinois. Wholechildstl.com is the website for Whole Child Pediatrics in Chesterfield.
Great. Thank you for coming on today and for sharing your knowledge, and I hope that you can do it again soon.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah. This has been Amanda LaPlante. You've been listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. For more information about my health coaching services, to listen to back episodes, or to contact me, please find me online at amandalaplante.com or on Facebook at Get Real to Heal. Have a great day.